isn't just your annual exam. It's your daughter's wedding. With the healthcare law, you may now have preventive benefits with no insurance copays or out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at healthcare.gov. Because it isn't just today's blood pressure screening. It's all those tomorrows you want to see. Healthcare.gov. Better health is in your hands.
Having the most fun on the way home.
Everyone's out to have fun.
Let's party.
VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where Brandy gets practical and personal here on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial, heard on our new time and day, Thursdays from 5 to 6. And if I can be so bold, we have done, after today's show, our 52nd show. That means we are on the air for 1 year, and it is our year anniversary. I can't believe it, and I'm just so happy being here at WVOX with all of my friends in Chuck and Nick in the control booth and all the folks at WVOX who have made this experience, and of course to our listeners that have made this experience such a pleasant one. And hopefully you will give me your ears for another 52 weeks so that you can become the brands you are truly meant to be. And if you don't know who this is, it's Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands. Your personal brand, your career brand, and even your business brand. Question: what does a bad-tasting pizza brand and the president have in common?
Okay. Go ahead, sorry. Right. Do your thing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Imagine this. Mm-hmm. You sample a pizza, and there are two things that become an issue that you really don't like: the thickness and the tomato sauce on there. Do you think that you're going to buy, after you've sampled this tasting pizza, what is the chance that you're going to buy it again after people told you you're going to love it? What do you think? Are there any similarities between tasting pizza and choosing a president? 914-636-0110. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going to talk about this and talk about this in the perspective of brands and politics. And I always like to talk about it. If I'm going to talk about politics, I only want to talk about it in terms of branding, not in terms of ideology, because I'm not concerned about ideology as much as I'm concerned about satisfying what voters want. And maybe that's not too much of a profile and courage approach, but I'm not a politician. I'm a marketing guy and a branding guy. And that's what we discuss here, brands, and only brands, and how that makes sense. So anyway, we're going to be talking about that. We're going to have a winner and loser. Did you know that? And our very special guest today, a Mr. Hassan Jurain of Mint Premium Foods in Tarrytown, New York. And I'm not the only person that was yelling and screaming of what a great brand he is. The Best of Westchester has also recognized his place called Mint Premium Foods as one of the best of Westchester. And we're going to try to get, you know, that's no small feat.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk to him about how he built that brand and what the secrets of his success are in build and brand building, so that he can pass this along to aspiring entrepreneurs and give some real takeaways. Well, folks, if you're joining us for the first time, this show is about understanding brands, whether you are talking about a personal, professional, or small business brand like Mint Premium Foods. At Brand Talk, we use the same marketing principles that Fortune 500 companies use so that you can go brand yourself and become the brand you are truly meant to be. And during the hour, myself, Dr. John Tantillo, and my friend and colleague, TJ McCormick.
Hi-yo!
Want to provide you with some branding and marketing gems that are going to be helpful to you as you go through the marketplace. This is a call-in show and it's your show. We want to hear from you about your brand and how you can go brand yourself and your business. And next week, we're going to have another entrepreneur who is a dear friend of mine that I think's got the best ice cream in Westchester County. Yes.
He's coming.
He's coming with his son. No, do you got to understand something. The guy who we're talking about is Joe Slakis.
And he owns
the Lighthouse in Tarrytown Waterfront.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I think I'm assured that he's coming is because I invited his son as well.
So I think
that's going to be the hook. So I am going to put on his son's Facebook page. So there is a method to my madness.
Yes.
As I often like to say, TJ,
yes.
My mom raised a fat boy. She didn't raise a dumb boy.
Dumb boy. Right.
Okay, so anyway. So we're going to try to have him in as well. And he's got a very interesting story. TJ, myself, and Joe were on the strategy room on Fox News Live. We started together. I got all my gumbans together to go on the show. I know Joe Slakis back from college days.
Wow.
So we go back, and we're very dear friends. And he worked for the Cuomo administration, and he's been, worked at the convention center. Mm. And he was always a great cook, Joe Slakis, the best cook. Mm. And, with very little encouragement, like, you're a great cook, he decided to say, well, you should taste my ice cream. And he'll tell you all about it. I don't want to, what can I say? Slow down his energy once he gets here. But anyway.
You don't want to steal his thunder.
That's it. I had a senior moment. What can I tell you? Because tomorrow is my birthday.
Actually, yeah.
I'm going to be smiling. And anyway.
Actually, you know what? Let me just take this moment. Are you okay right now?
What's that?
Because they say we're supposed to check in on our seniors in this kind of heat.
Okay. I have a word that begins with F. And it's not fire truck either.
I heard Mayor Bloomberg and other health officials say in this heat wave to check in on our seniors.
You're going to get it.
I'm sitting
let me tell you about this. I don't know if our listeners, by the way, you can check in on Beat Up on the Old Man here at WVOX at 914-636-0110. But I don't know if you folks realize that once you become 50, you start receiving in the mail AARP.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when I hit my 50th birthday, the next week.
Wow.
Okay. And I had a big bash for my 50th.
They
still talk about it, yes. One day we'll get into that. Talk about a brand. Alleged in my own mind. But anyway, I got the AARP, and that's what happens. When you're 50, you start getting correspondence to say you're getting there.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Brand Talk, Tantillo McCormick. Love to hear from you, 914-636-0110. And the question today is how is a bad-tasting pizza brand and the president, how, what do they share in common? And we're going to get into that in a few minutes. And but before we do that, I'd like to introduce my radio partner and dear friend, TJ McCormick, who is the host of TJ Talking, heard every Sunday at 9 p.m., and who is a regular on the Fox News Channel, Fox Business Network, and, of course, Brand Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And welcome, TJ.
Thank you there, good man. My, thank you, thank you.
Okay, okay, Sonny. So, anyway.
What a day.
What a day. Well, the way, you know, I have on the table here, you know, when I heard today about the Supreme, and by the way, like I said, this is not really a political show. And the only reason I bring it up is to illustrate the importance of the branding and marketing lens in analyzing the world's issues.
Right.
Every genius reporter is telling the world that, oh, this is a big win for President Obama.
Right.
And it may be a win from a political perspective and a judicial perspective, but it's not a win on the brand perspective. Okay?
Right.
And let me illustrate. As I, and please chime in. And we love to hear from you. And I'm not saying I am right.
Right.
I think I might, my political analysis might not be right. But I think my branding analysis is right on the money. 914-636-0110 or doc@brandtalkradio.com. So let's say you see a review and you decide to sample pizza. Okay? And what you do is you taste the pizza, and it's and the first thing you say is, I don't like the crust. I like a thicker crust. I don't like the thin crust. And you taste that, and you say, okay. And then you take another taste, and you decide that you don't like the tomato sauce. Maybe it's got too much garlic in it. Maybe it's got it has a tinny, canny taste.
Right, you don't like it.
After you've sampled it, what are the chances of you buying that pizza again?
In November?
Yeah. now you got the president whose most unpopular component is healthcare that now is back on the clock.
Right.
And you're right. You have the economy that stinks. What? And this is associated with your brand.
Right.
And you've sampled it. Is there anybody that's going to vote for this man? Or buy anybody going to buy this product other than the 40% who are Democrats? Is this how is this going to happen? I don't get it. I don't understand how this is a win. And this is what, if I could just get this out.
Please, please.
This is what frustrates me when I try to use this marketing lens to analyze things, and no one seems to get it. They're just in this bubble that they think that. I just don't understand it. But please, if I'm wrong, why don't you give me a call at 914-636-0110? And how do you feel?
Today was the biggest day for liberty in the history of the United States, in recent history. All right. This is, in terms of the workings of the government, in terms of what the federal government can do.
Right.
It's one of the biggest days in terms of liberty. Because what this did was this set a precedent now.
Right.
As to what Congress, what the federal government can tax you for.
Okay. But, TJ.
Yeah,
see,
go ahead.
My point,
it's about the president.
No, but my point is, I only think that's probably another third of the country feels the way you do.
Right.
I think what I'm more worried about are that third of independents that don't quite see it that way.
Okay.
That see this thing in terms of not ideology and not the Constitution.
Okay.
But I don't like this.
Well, then you know what? Yes.
You know what I'm
saying? I think
and
so,
that's
yes.
what I'm, that's
You're
what
right.
I'm
okay.
excited
okay.
about.
All right.
Go
ahead. Thanks for keeping me on that point then. Okay. Because I could talk about all that other stuff for 6 hours. Okay.
But and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Go ahead.
To speak to your point. I think that is where, look, there are all the people that were going to be voting against Obama were going to be voting against Obama no matter what happened today. And the people that were going to be, there were some people that were going to be, now he's lost support. It is that middle group, like you said, that middle group of independents and moderates. Those people today, like you said, have been on the fence and have been falling off the fence on the wrong side for Obama for quite some time. And I believe that those people are not extreme. This is extreme and they don't like it. And they will not be back to vote for him. Some of them may stay.
Right.
Now, in that regard, it may not be the biggest gift for Republicans because some of these people may just stay home and hold their nose and not, but you know, who knows what it's going to do in terms of energizing and mobilizing more voters in general to show up. But
I see the, I believe that this election is not about Democrats, and I wanted to write a piece about this.
Right.
This is not about a brand loyalty election. This is about the independents and how they see this. And I honestly believe that this is not good for this. I don't care what genius political, and you know all the talk, what the talking heads are saying.
Right.
What I'm basically saying is people don't like this.
Well,
what's going on?
Well, let me take it to a different level too. The independents who vote that middle. Okay, hopefully this will speak to what you're talking about. That middle third that you're talking about. That bunch of independents and moderates who voted for Barack Obama that he's counting on that he needs to win, and also that Romney needs to win. The guys they're fighting for, the men and women, those votes they're fighting for, those people were sold a bill of goods. The man sold himself as a uniter and not a divider. The man sold himself as someone who would not ever add one tax to anybody's bottom line.
Right.
Middle class.
Right.
And now today, we have upheld and now labeled as the largest tax increase in the history of the United States. And it just so happens to actually have the man's name on it. So therein lies, I think what you're getting at.
Yes.
The people were sold that he was a uniter, that not red, not blue, but a United States of America. And this man has proven to be an extremist and a tax raiser.
Right.
And that's the problem.
What the people bought into was not a Democrat, was not a liberal. But was, as you said, a unite. That was part of his brand.
No
and
more
now
adding to
that
the
he,
deficit.
And that's this is what we were trying to get at last week with our friend Mario. You know, what my problem here is that my friends who are Democrats are just looking. There's a concept in marketing called marketing myopia.
Huh. Okay.
Which and this is what it's like what the railroads decided when airplanes were beginning to take over. No one is going to, you know how unsafe air flight is? No one will want to use airlines when we have rail. Okay. And so instead of the railroads buying airlines.
Right. Right.
They dug in.
Yeah. They were myopic.
That's exactly right. And so what I'm beginning to see here, the same way with my Democratic friends, they're digging in. And here we go again. This is what I love to hear. Yeah. It's a communications issue. Now that we have the Supreme Court, what we're going to now be able to do is convince people why they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that in marketing. You can only satisfy a need. You cannot create a need. How many times do I have to let people know that? This is what gets me nervous, and this is not nervous, excited. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a little passionate, you know, it's not because of the politics of it. It is because I want people to understand.
Yeah.
And what I mean by people, not only our listeners, mm-hmm. but the pundits,
yeah.
to understand that this is not about them.
Right.
This is not about the pundits. It's about the voters.
Yeah.
And what it is that they want. And mm-hmm. and to it crazy, it's not about Republicans,
right.
and it's not about the Democrats.
Right.
It's about the independents.
Yeah, because the Republicans, Democrats, they're already going to be voting the way they're voting.
That's right.
They're already going to be there.
That's correct.
It's that middle section they play for.
That's exactly right. Well, anyway, enough of that. But if you want to call in, please do. 914-636-0110. We'd love to get your feedback in terms of my take on things, which is, and that's what separates, differentiates, I should say, using a marketing term, TJ and myself. I look at things from a marketing perspective, and TJ, from time to time, looks at things from a marketing perspective. But yeah. Please, I'm not
from
trying to put
a social perspective. I look at it from I think a pop culture perspective.
But you're a little bit more ideological.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not an idea. You know, and Franklin Roosevelt, despite what people say, was not an ideologist.
Right.
He was a pragmatist.
Yes.
And everybody says, oh, how can you say it? He was the most socialist president since, caveman time.
But that most socialist president is the guy who said that public sector unions should not be allowed to
Yes, unionize. And people forget that politicians respond right. to the needs at the time. And communism was a big threat in this country.
Right.
And it was,
we have a call.
We have a call. Okay. We have a caller. What's your name? What's your brand? Where are you from?
Tony.
Tony, how are you, Tony? Thanks for calling in.
Two things. One, your analogy to the railroads, it's
yes.
incorrect.
Oh.
The reason why I say it is this. The railroads... When you said about airlines, let's look at the railroads. They're attacked by different sides where the interstate highway system that the government forced it upon them and then put more taxes upon the railroads is what doing the railroads, and also the subtraction of the postal, the accounts they had to do to deliver mail.
Yes.
That's what actually supported the passenger system. So to make an analogy between air travel and the railroads, because they wanted to wean off passenger traffic because they made their money in freight anyway. Historically, railroads made their money on freight, and passengers were just like a marquee.
Oh, I love it. So, that's really good insight.
Actually, so that's a bad analogy, I think.
All right. Well, that's okay.
Oh, that, and that's the next thing I was going to say.
That's very good.
You're saying
good.
Brand. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut
you off. No, Tony, go ahead.
When you're saying brand, I'm thinking you have to make a difference between brand marketing and PR. I think we have to, when you're selling political ideals, or ideologies, mm-hmm. which I know you want to separate from, it's
right.
not the same as selling a product sometimes.
Oh, no. Well, see, that's where you and I will disagree. I will respectfully disagree, but go ahead.
I mean, because when I see I'm sorry.
No, Tony, go ahead.
When I see a product being sold,
yes.
I mean, usually it has to fill a need and a want.
Yes.
You see, but politics is about exerting control.
No, see, I think that's an older model, and that's where also I would disagree. You're bringing up this is a great discussion you're bringing up, because Tony, you're terrific. I mean, I've had discussions with my political friends, because many, many years ago, about 30 years ago, I was involved with politics myself, and I ran campaigns, and so... We would have this discussion all the time.
Right.
So what you're bringing up is right on the money. I would say that in terms of your PR designation, PR is a component of marketing. And what we have to use today, and this is what I'm advocating, and you can better understand a political brand like Obama or Romney by using this model, which is the marketing model, which means how can my candidate, and Obama did this, the president did this in his election by saying, I'm going to give you change. And that's what he satisfied the need in the marketplace for that. That's how he got elected. Where he has fallen, if I could make some criticism about the president, is that he hasn't followed through on that. Because and what he became was more ideological and not say, okay, what is 60% of the electorate want? And based on the 60% of what the electorate wants, that's what I will give him, give them. And if he would have done that, I think he might have been in a different situation.
Go ahead. When you try to take it out as a product, though, you're only looking at one component of the political formula, because we're a democratic republic where every so many years you have to get reelected.
Yes.
So you're just selling yourself at that point in time. But if you look at the rest of the body of the movement of politics, I mean, to be honest, you can't put, like, one thing I was just thinking of, with politics, you can apply the rules of Machiavelli, but I don't think you could apply Machiavelli's rule to marketing.
I'm so glad you called, and I'm going to have to end this conversation,
okay.
But really, calling again, maybe we can pick this up next week,
okay.
But some really, really good points. I loved it.
Okay.
Thanks for calling,
sure.
Tony. That was Tony. TJ, isn't that? I mean, that's what this show is all about.
That was fabulous.
That was really some very astute,
cogent, salient point.
Right. But see, I do believe.
And further, yeah.
You know, I remember working in the comic con. And when I was doing that, there was this tension between the Carter people, and Carter was elected in 76 with the help of an advertising buddy called Rafshoon.
Okay.
I think had an agency in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he was able to win. And there was this idea, has politics relied too heavily in advertising? And now, and so, I mean, even back then in 76, when I was a graduate student, there was talk about the importance of that in elections. And I would have to respectfully disagree with those people who don't see the importance of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in the White House, they got that kind of, they have that kind of tension that's going on between what I would call the political operatives,
yeah,
and the marketing people, the marketing and anyway, we're going to be talking about our winner and loser.
Yeah,
we got our friend from Mint, Hassan, is going to talk about his brand. We have a Did You Know That?
Yeah,
and more brand talk.
With world and national news three times an hour, here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Jane Metzler. The U.S. Supreme Court rules the Affordable Care Act stays largely intact.
They ruled that this is a tax, and they have allowed it to stand on that basis.
Reaction here outside the Supreme Court on word a 5-4 decision upheld the nation's health care law.
This is not
Tea Party supporters and Republicans tell us they believe the ruling will fire up their base in the November presidential election, while supporters of the health care law tell us they're relieved.
Fox News Radio's Jeff Manasso at the Supreme Court.
This is a terrible move today.
Minnesota Republican Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann vowing to vote yes when a measure repealing the health care law comes up in the House a week from Wednesday. Democrats say repeal will go nowhere in the Senate, where they're in charge. This is a Fox News alert.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County in the vicinity for the evening hours. We'll see mostly cloudy skies, chance of shower, thunderstorm, overnight lows into the lower 70s. Clouds and sunshine, can be a thunderstorm in the afternoon. Hot weather highs will range into the upper 90s. Partly to mostly clear at night, lows dropping near 70, mostly sunny, lower 90s on Saturday. We'll see sunny skies, highs into the lower 90s on Sunday, mostly sunny into the lower 90s once again on Monday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr., reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
You've been working way too hard on the way home.
Have some fun
with VOX.
WVOX.
We'll be right back.
Hey, we're back here, Brand Talk, on our 52nd show. We've been on the air 1 year, and we have TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, WVOX 1460 on your AM dial, and we have a real treat for you. Let me tell you, our next guest is someone I like to say he's ineffable, and that means indescribable. He's got a great brand. I serendipitously walked into his wonderful store called Mint Premium Foods in Tarrytown, right on Main Street. I was hungry, and somebody off the street said, I asked, where should I go? And they said, you have to try this place, Mint. And I said, okay. And I go into this restaurant. I go into this food store where they serve the most beautiful sandwiches. I ordered a sandwich, and within 30 seconds of me ordering the sandwich, this wonderful gentleman, and I said, this guy's got to be the owner.
Yeah.
Gives me a sample of his food, which was like kissing for the first time.
Wow.
And I mean, and I said, I'm going to love this place because... You
was the first time you kissed? Was that like a sandwich?
Probably. I'm telling you. In my life, yes. Because I was a chubby. But we're taking too much of our next guest's time. And that is Hussein Jerrain. Welcome to Brand Talk. How are you, Hassan?
I'm very well, John. Very well. Wonderful show.
You know, and you are a wonderful brand. And let me tell you... I just loved your experience. I loved your food, and I loved the attention to detail. And you know, and what was interesting, Hassan, is you not only gave that attention to me, you provided that with everyone that came into that store. If I hope you don't mind me calling a store, because that's how I would describe it. And what I'd like you to do, and immediately it said, you got to come on my show, because I would like you to do is to talk about the secrets of why your business is such a success and why people are always talking about your place.
Well, you know, it really starts with the passion. If you don't have a passion for something, whatever you're going to do is just going to fail. I mean, if you wake up in the morning and the passion drives you, you really can succeed in anything you do.
Yes, and you know what, Hassan? You know what I love too. The staff was terrific. You didn't have a clunker in the group. They all worked together. It was like you were like in sync with what everyone was doing. And you know that's hard to do, as you well know. That's no easy task. And you know my hat goes out to you. And I literally, as you know, wear a hat.
I know, beautiful hat. Actually, that was when you walked in, I was like, wow, this is beautiful person walking into my shop.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I get a variety of people walking. I get from kids that just want fries to somebody who want a great meal. And, you know, you got to treat everybody with respect. And you make them like they feel like home, you know, like it's their place. It's their living room. It's their food. And you give them a taste. If they don't like it, that's okay. You go to the next item, you give them a taste until, you know, and you listen to what customers say, you know. Like, you know, we're talking just before our conversation with the gentleman and promises in politics. You know, you can promise me the land, but if you can't deliver it, that's no point.
I love it. Go ahead.
You really got to put your heart, and if you promise something, you got work hard to deliver it. And it's a work ethic thing. And work ethic and a passion, if they go together and if you have a great team, you really can't fail.
But you know what I love about what you said, Hassan? And by the way, you have to go see Hassan at Mint in Tarrytown. I believe it's 12 Main Street. Am I correct?
No, actually, it's 19. It's just
19.
A couple doors from the music hall.
I'm sorry about that.
No problem.
But I think they'll see that. The point I'm making is that you know it's about your customers, and I mean that's so important. And that's what I don't know if you've been listening to Brand Talk, but I yell, scream, and carry on about
yes,
it's all about your customer, and they don't get it. I mean, it's all about your customer. Go ahead, Hassan.
Yes, I mean, what customer is number one? I mean, if you forget customer, might as well close your door or whatever you do. If you don't think your customer is your brand itself.
Right. Now,
it's not even worth, you know, coming to work.
That's right. Now, Hassan, how would you best describe what your brand is? Like, if I were to say, I went to Mint, it's a great, go ahead.
Well, it's really, it's kind of hard a little bit to describe. I mean, the feeling, I will say, you go walk in and feel the vibe, you know, smell the food, and just have a feel of the environment. I think it's really the key. I mean, we basically, the shop started about 10 years ago in a suburb where when I was opening, everybody was laughing and say, well, you wouldn't survive 6 months. And 10 years later, I'm still here.
I love it.
So,
yes.
When I opened on this shop, I was the first. It was antiques that never opened. And now you can't find a parking spot on this street.
That's right. And I can attest to that. I can attest to that.
And it's really all love and passion. And it's really the key.
Yeah. See, I would say if I were asked to brand you, it's a unique atmosphere for enjoying food.
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, like we have an open kitchen and my dining room, the dining area look like somebody's living room.
I love it. That's right.
We have a communal table where, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I had the old Rockefeller celebrated his birthday, 90th birthday here.
I love it. Yeah. No.
You know, it doesn't get any bigger than that.
Okay.
You know, and the guy hugged you at the end, say great food, great atmosphere.
Right.
You can't buy that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And I mean, those are the elements that when you walk inside, you really nobody bug you. You're on your own. You can shop. You can eat. You can sit down. It's an environment where you really can discover so many things. I mean, you know, people call me, like they buy an item from me and call me later, like a week later. So, well, how can I make something? And I call them back and I say, well, this is what you do. This is what you do. And I give them, you know, different recipe to work with.
I love it. I love it. In the last few minutes here, Hassan, what would you say, what advice would you give for somebody who's going to open up a business, not necessarily a food business?
You know, you gotta have a passion for what you do.
Yes.
You gotta have a passion, and you gotta make it your own, you know.
Right.
And when people walk in, they gotta feel like it's their own place too.
Very well said. Very well said.
You know, that's the key. I mean, that kind of creates a trust in your customer.
Yes. And
you know,
go ahead. No. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, those are the key to any business, and you know, and long days.
You beat me to it.
Long hours.
You know,
long hours.
You said it. You know, a friend of mine said, "It's great to have your own business. You can work any 20 hours a day you want."
Exactly.
Yes, exactly. TJ.
Well, you know, I was a commercial photographer all my life. And about 12 years ago, I had a midlife crisis.
I love it.
And I say, you know what? I loved food all my life. Why not share it with other people?
Yes.
And it works. So,
yeah.
This is TJ, John's and sidekick.
And we're this is WVOX. We are on WVOX 1460 on your AM dial. Brand Talk. We have Hassan Jaran. Is it Jaran?
Jaran
from Mint in Tarrytown. And TJ, you have a question.
A man with a name which rhymes is a fabulous brand to have. Sahan Jahan. My two cents on the whole entrepreneurship thing in this day and age. First of all, you are where America needs to get to. America, if we're going to recover fully, we need to embrace, support, and encourage and create an environment So
that's the key. I mean, you know, look, you know, the bottom line, nobody wants anything to be made in China. Right. You know, we want everything to be made here. We want, you know, we want if the kid turns 15 or, you know, you guys show them what the work ethic is, you know. You don't put that passion in them, we're just going to become a lazy, you know, population. And, you know, look where we are. I mean, you know, I put ads for people to come to work. And, you know, 5 years ago, you put an ad, you have a dozen that show up in one day. No, we put an ad, if you get one that show up, you're really lucky.
And you know, and here's the thing too, is something that gets lost on a lot of people, and is people who have never been a business owner, is the notion of risk and sacrifice. You already hit the sacrifice when you talk about the long hours.
If you don't love something, don't do it.
Well, it goes even further. I guess what I wanted to illustrate and bounce this off you is, you know, and this speaks to my politics and me. You can imagine I have debates with people who belong to, you know, teachers unions, for example.
Of course.
And, you know, and I ask them, you know, have you ever had to sit up three nights in a row trying to, you know, balance your books and make payroll? Have you ever had to, you know, fire some, you know, these are, it's, and so speak a little bit about, you know, beyond the long days. There's sleepless nights because, you know, you're facing a lot of fear. There's sacrifice and there is a lot of, there's a lot of sacrifice and a lot of risk involved in being a business owner.
You know what? That's part of life. There is always risk, but you know what? The risk become less if you have that work ethic and that passion in it. The risk will become, you minimize the risk. Anything you do, there's something, there is a chance it's going to fail.
Right.
Yes.
But
right.
If you believe in it. You know, if you believe in it, in the long run, it will work. It will work. Because you know what? You know, if you have a brand that's based, well, all brands basically are based on customer. So if you have the customer in mind and your customer is number one, customer become your own brand. Because, look, if you give a great service to one person, he's going to tell 10 people. And those 10 people will tell 10 people. So that's your brand. That's where any business, I think, should have as a motto, is just like customer is number one. I mean, now look, I mean, how many places you walk and they don't even know you walked in?
Wow. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, look, from the Village Hall to, you know, to Macy's to whatever, you walk in, it's like, oh, is anybody here? And you feel so frustrated. Look, I'm coming to spend money, and you're treated either ignored or you treat it with bad service. So where's the brand?
Yeah. You know, Hassan, we're going to have to let you go, but I want to thank you.
One last mention. Actually, we just got voted by Western Magazine, you know, the best new restaurant.
I love it. And I'm going to be at the Best of Westchester, so I'm going
to
see you there.
Well,
so I'm going
to
love
it. And now we're serving brunch on Sundays, unbelievable brunch, out of this world. And I would love to see both of you come in. I would love to buy you a memo.
No, we can't do that. We will pay for it. That's cool.
No,
pay
over. We'll let him give us a bag of chips.
Okay,
we'll
maybe
take
a bag of chips. But anyway, listen, Hassan, it was wonderful. Mint, Premium Foods, Tarrytown. Love you, kiddo. Keep up the great work. We'll see
Thanks
you
a lot,
soon.
John.
Okay.
Great show.
Okay, thank you, bud.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, these are the kinds of folks and brands that this is what excites me.
Yes.
It gets me going. It makes me believe in what we're doing here. And I'm just so happy for me. He's just such a wonderful guy and a great brand. And but you know what they said in The Wizard of Oz?
What's that?
She had to learn it for herself.
Yes.
So our listeners will have to learn it for themselves and experience it for themselves, okay? So now we're at the Did You Know That? We're at that time where we're going to do Did You Know That? Where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, Did You Know That?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, Did You Know That? Folks, what if not only your home, but your entire hometown burned to the ground, forcing you to fend for yourself. That's what happened to a teenager named King after the Chicago Fire of 1871. King took to the road. He became a traveling salesman, a salesman who would change the world. You see, along the way, King met the inventor of the disposable bottle cap. A successful invention, the inventor told him, was one that could be purchased again and again by satisfied customers. The trick was finding an everyday need and the best way to meet that need. King rejected countless possibilities until one morning he was shaving and had the big idea. A razor with an affordable and disposable blade. Experts told him it would never work. They said steel couldn't be produced hard or cheap enough. But scientist William Nickerson agreed to try. 2 years later, the razor was reality. King started a company. Sales grew. Then came World War I. His razors were issued to everyone in the U.S. military. Soon an entire nation embraced his revolutionary new idea, and a journey that had begun with a fire ended with King Gillette becoming a household name. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
Maniacal laugh. That
are we back?
Oh yeah.
Are we back?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know we were back. Go ahead. I'm gonna mean
the laugh that you do at the end of every "Did you know that" gets more maniacal with each week. Because you see my face, my King Gillette.
King Gillette.
See, because I thought you were saying, I thought it was the guy's last name.
That's right.
A young man named King, and I'm thinking, okay, what's your King? Frank King, John King, Lennon.
Right.
Son of a gun.
Well, you know, I mean, and this was also a subtle form of guerrilla marketing.
Okay.
In the sense that before World War I, people would go to the barbers to shave.
Right, right.
Okay?
Sure.
And so so you wouldn't shave yourself. And that's why men of that period had beards.
Isn't that fascinating?
Okay. Yeah. So he was the one that made shaving yourself very, very popular.
Oh, life had
and,
to be so itchy
it's,
back then.
Yes, and disgusting.
Ugh!
Yes.
Isn't that fascinating about that time?
Well, yeah. There was a book, and I remember when I was in college, and I gave it to my grandfather, God rest his soul, and he never gave it back to me. And the name of the book was "The Good Old Days, They Were Terrible." Wow. And it listed all of the 18th, 17th, and 19th century technology.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, there was no air conditioning.
Right.
There were no screens.
Right.
So that mosquitoes and flies and anything would go right through. Birds and bats would go in your home.
Right, right.
There were no screens.
Ah!
Ah, right. Drive your batty.
Let alone let alone facilities.
Right. Let's not even go there.
Right.
But the point I'm making is that we romanticize this bygone era, which was bygone, but certainly not a great era.
Right.
But anyway,
there it is on Amazon. The good old days, they were terrible. There it is, right there on Amazon.
Bettman? B-E-T-T-M-A-N-N?
Yes!
Really? They brought it back.
It's there. It's in paperback. Otto Bettman.
Yeah, that's right.
And it takes a long time to get this. It ships in 1 to 3 weeks. So it's not like it's just sitting on their shelves
this
at Amazon.
This was like in the 1970s that I
one of those
I
books.
It,
yeah.
Probably was my grandfather's.
I would love to find
somebody,
that.
One of the relatives that I never saw put it on Amazon, and I'm going to give them my mind.
What but gets me about that, about that era, about those days, is it was a time. I just got through reading a fascinating book about things happening in the 1890s during the Columbian World's Exposition in Chicago. Great book called "The Devil in the White City," and it's a nonfiction novel, if you will.
Right.
Anyway, and one of the most fascinating things about that what is that? Is that Victorian? Yeah, that's the 1890s.
Yes.
Okay. Is all the advancements that were being made that had already been made, you know, the Industrial Revolution and, you know, everything from building possibly. I mean, they had elevators, but there were horses lying dead in the street.
Yes.
You know, they had elevators. They had certain primitive forms of air conditioning towards the end of the 1800s. Very primitive. They had light bulbs.
Right.
But there was still waste in the backyard and privies and all that. Mm-hmm. It's fascinating the paradox that was living back then.
Well, you know, I mean, it's part of what I call the common brand.
Yes.
A common brand, which is the romantic nature of the 18th century brand.
Sure.
Or the 19th century brand.
Sure.
How it wasn't as complicated mm-hmm. as it was. And yes, but the life expectancy was 55.
Right.
So I wouldn't be here right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you had that. And I mean, you know, you realize that in New York City, the horse dung was so bountiful
mm-hmm.
that you had to wear boots.
Yeah.
And on
yes.
your boots, you had spats
right.
to protect your boots.
Is that what the spats were for?
They were a protection against... Yes, and the reason for the boot was so nothing got into the dirt,
right.
did not get into your shoe.
Gotcha.
So these were all the wonderful thing, and there was no air conditioning.
Right.
So you can imagine what August in New York City smelled like.
Ugh.
Okay, I mean, but no one talks about that. And by the way, there was no sanitation
right.
as we know
well,
it.
Well, and so here comes, I want to say Robert Moses, but no, it wasn't Robert Moses.
No.
The other guy. Oh, they're the big name
Lil
here.
LaGuardia?
In New York. No. Well, LaGuardia.
But that was in the 1930s. Now, yeah.
No. Who is the guy?
Boris Tweed?
There was a guy who came in and implemented. He put his workers in sparkling white uniforms.
I don't know.
And they went in and basically practically just set fire to like the five corners and all and the 5 points and all those areas.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Robert Moses, but he was the Parks and
Recreation
guy.
No, Parks and Recreation guy.
It's another name that you hear named after parks and stuff like that. And he was the big sanitation guy. Oh, faint. Okay, I'll Google it while you talk.
Okay,
go ahead.
But the point of the Gillette, getting back to this Gillette.
Yes.
And is what our friend Hassan mentioned. It's about sticking to it. It's about never giving up. And, you know, that is, believe me,
mm-hmm.
That is not easy to do, to press on
right.
and do what our friend Winston Churchill said, never, never, never give up.
Yeah.
You know, especially when things are not going your way.
Mm-hmm.
And as my good friend and producer likes to remind me, Jonathan, it's, you know, the difference between those who succeed versus those who don't.
Jacob Riis.
As in Riis Park.
Yes.
I did not know
Jacob,
that.
And I didn't even find it yet. Yeah. I think it just dawned on me as I'm looking through here.
I did not know that.
Go ahead, sorry.
But no. We have to get all these facts and figures in there. But as Jonathan would say, the difference between somebody who makes it and somebody who doesn't is that the people that make it them never gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to just continue at it. And hey, believe me, I can appreciate that. So that's
and Riis was the guy who wrote the book How the Other Half Lives.
I didn't. Wow, that is great.
Now you can say.
Now I know that.
But yeah, 1849 to 1914, it was a social reformer, and he was famous for, you know, at one point, they finally looked at all of the ills of the 5 points and the tenements and everything.
Yes.
And they literally went in, and he hired thousands of men, outfitted them in sparkling white uniforms. And the brushes and pans and with the newfound ideas of different sorts of disinfectants and all that, they went through and they would burn piles and piles of garbage and waste and all this stuff. and cleaned up New York. And that was the beginning of really what is, to this day, the right. cleanest big city in America.
Right, right.
You know,
I just got a yes. text message from my producer, Jonathan,
yes.
who wanted me to let our listeners know that Anthony was great, but planes were part of the rail decline, no matter what.
Hmm.
But Anthony was right about the highways. So it seemed to be, I guess what Jonathan is saying, and I guess is that what the highways did
right.
is it moved, because I believe that the rail and planes were about the same price,
yes.
or could have been, so they canceled each other out, and it was more the highways that moved the country into buying automobiles and traveling as opposed to long-term travel. I guess that's what's going on there. We'll have to clarify that. But Jonathan had mentioned that the rail was in fact rail decline was in fact due to the it should be long distance rail
right.
was substituted. That's about the best way to explain it.
Hmm.
That
yeah.
That's what happened, and I don't know the numbers that it could have very well been that the short distances that people use
right.
Might have been
yeah commuter railroads right right
yeah, right. Because there was no such thing as a commuter rail at
right.
that time.
Right.
So, well, here...
Wow, another one in the can.
Our 52nd show is over. TJ McCormick, John Tantillo, it's Brand Talk. We want to thank you for listening to us. We hope to hear from you next week.
Next week with Little Joe. Little Joe Slakus.
With Joe Slakus and his son, Ian Slakus, talking about the best ice cream... in Westchester County.
Nay, the world.
John Tantillo, TJ McCormick. See you next week.
Your official summertime.